The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
Good morning. It is Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Check in at 770-563-3770-KMED. My email, bill@billmyersshow.com. And, of course, we're live on Facebook, facebook.com/Bill Myers Show. Go ahead and laugh and like, and we can share. Yeah, we talk seriously, and we sometimes laugh too. And sometimes it just astounds me. Some people criticizing me because I had noted that J.D. Vance looks like my favorite character in the Outlaw Josie Wales, and that was Fletcher. Well, he's not my favorite character. I mean, Clint's the Josie's my favorite character, but I just always enjoyed John Vernon, the actor John Vernon, late John Vernon. And remember, he played Dean Wormer in, Animal House, all that stuff back then. And he had this stentorian kind of delivery, like, "Senator, don't piss down my back and tell me that it's raining." The Outlaw Josie Wales. He played a bad guy in that, you know, Fletcher, who betrayed Josie. But J.D. Vance making Civil War era beards look great again, you know, that kind of thing. But he does kind of have that look. I'm thrilled. I'm absolutely thrilled that Trump chose J.D. Vance, because in many ways, I think J.D. Vance is more Trumpy than Trump, if you can believe that. And in many ways, more socially conservative, probably than President Trump, too, for that matter. And one could arguably say assassination insurance, too. If you're looking to change policy by getting rid of President Trump, bringing in J.D. Vance would not be much change in policy. A lot of folks ended up bringing up why J.D. said such horrible things about President Trump, you know, maybe in a private message at one point alluding to Hitler and things like that. And someone asked him about that, and you got to remember that Trump plays the same kind of hardball politics. Trump has said some horrendously horrible things about people. And then you kiss and you make up, and it's politics, and you move on. And especially, I think this was back during the 2016 primary campaign, which was just brutal. And J.D. Vance took someone else. I forget who he was supporting at that point. But the fact of the matter is, as Trump even said, is that he supports me now. And J.D. Vance realized that Trump was not a fraud. He kind of thought he was kind of like a con man, a charlatan. And he changed his mind as the administration went on. And there's probably no stronger defender of Trumpism and Trump policies than J.D. Vance. He's a natural fit. And as I mentioned on social media last night, he is he's serious as a heart attack, for one thing, being a senator from Ohio, and truly an up by your bootstraps. You want to talk about rags to riches, hillbilly elegy. I never bought the book. I'm going to buy the book, but I started watching it on Netflix last night because I was thinking, you know, I never really looked at that for some reason, because I kind of lived around a lot of that. You know, not in Milan as much so, but when you'd go into southern Ohio, especially, and you'd be near Kentucky, you'd see the kind of folks that J.D. Vance came from. And yeah, you want to call them hillbillies, you want to call them rednecks, you know, frankly, the type of voters that the Republican Party has been embarrassed. I got to tell you, that's if there's something that has just irritated me more about the Republican Party over the last decade or so, or as they start going into diversity, equity, and inclusion, it's like, poor whites? We don't care about poor whites. We care about poor blacks, because poor blacks might help us, win more elections, and the donors care about poor blacks because, you know, checking that. And poor Hispanics, yeah, we're okay with that, you know, because we want to steal that from the Democrat. Poor whites, I could swear the Republican Party, in a lot of my adult lifetime, has been embarrassed that it has white voters. Gosh, why can't we have a more diverse voters? You know, rather than winning elections with who you have, it's like, who can we, try to steal? It just irritates me. But anyway, J.D. Vance came from that kind of group. Ended up getting a law degree, Harvard. Gosh, entrepreneur. He is truly an American success story, serious as a heart attack, and also has an intellectual depth that the Trump campaign can use. Because Don, in my opinion, has a great, how do I put it, kind of like great political instincts, a great political gut. But if you want to get into the intellectual underpinnings of a point of view or something like that, it's really more, that's more like J.D. Vance's wheelhouse. Smart guy. And plus 39, he'll be 40 on August 2nd. There's a lot of room for him to run in the Republican Party. And he's considered one of the leaders of the new order, you know, the new order of Republicans. This is not the Bush party. This is not the party of Bush, not even the party of Reagan at this point. And, you know, you think about the J.D. Vances and, well, just as an example of how things have changed at the convention last night, after President Trump ended up coming in to roaring approval and came in there with his bandaged up ear. They had Mitch McConnell, Senator Mitch McConnell, on the Jumbotron. And it didn't go real well. There was polite applause in some cases. But he's there on the Jumbotron, and they're booing him. Yeah, about half booing and about half, you know, it's kind of polite. Yeah, we have to because, yeah, he is the Senate leader, you know, that kind of thing. It's a different party and needs to be a different party. And J.D. Vance, I think, is a part of that push to refashion the Republican Party. Now, J.D. Vance being in there, the donor class is not going to be real happy about this because, if anything, J.D. Vance would probably be even less likely to, you know, go into the never-ending overseas wars and things like that. You know, everything, in other words, caring about every country in the world other than the United States of America, which, frankly, both the Democrats and the Republican parties have been real good at for quite some time. So, anyway, I'm saying, hey, way to go. It was a great move. And I didn't think he was going to do it. I was always hoping that he would have picked J.D. Vance. And the other thing I liked about him picking J.D. Vance is that Trump didn't bend the knee to the DEI thing. Oh, I got to get a woman, or I got to get a black, or I got to get a this, or I got to get gotta check a box someplace. It's like, no, he got someone who's going to double down on Trumpism, double down and intellectually defend it. So that's just great news as far as I'm concerned. 19 minutes after 6, 770-563-3770-KMED. Actually, a lot of good news for Trump yesterday, after, besides the fact that he survived the assassination. We're going to talk about one of the better stories here with Michael O'Neill. He's Legal Eagle, Vice President of Legal Affairs at Landmark Legal. And this has to do with the classified documents case going bye-bye. Now, technically, I guess it could be recharged, but I don't think it's going to be going anywhere. And we're going to talk with Michael about why this matters, why this is a big deal. We'll talk with him about that. Bob Tiernan, Mean Boss Bob. Remember him? And by the way, when I call the Mean Boss Bob, you know, he used to run a grocery outlet. Remember him? He was running for governor a couple of years ago. Should have been the nominee instead of then Christine Drazen. Yes, I know. I'm don't even get me started. You know, the Drazens and the Vicky Breeze Iversons. It's almost like the Republican Party is extruding those out in the northern part of the state, just my opinion. But anyway, Bob Tiernan, who I loved it because he just always had that physical presence like, you know, every mean boss you ever had. He's a great guy, but it was just kind of like, you know, you put him on TV and he tries to do a friendly smile and it just wasn't him, you know. But I think he would have been a great governor and a gubernatorial candidate, but that was not to be back in 2022. Yeah, I know. He's the one I voted for, you know, back at that time. But he's going to be checking in from the RNC, kind of give us a little ground-pounding action, what's been going on there. And let's see, Bob actually worked with Reince Priebus and reorganized the RNC back in 2011. They were getting that all reorganized. And I'm kind of wondering if under Trump, I mean, Trump is really pretty much taking control of the entire party if it's getting reorganized as we speak. But we'll talk with him a little less than an hour from now, okay? We'll also be checking in with Josephine County Commissioner Herman Bertschiger. Of course, big news about that. I'll talk about some of those stories here in just a moment. And how are you doing in last night's blow? How heavily did the wind blow in your neighborhood? We still have a few hundred power people without power here in Southern Oregon. Last night at one point, it was like 3,000-4,000. Eagle Point was out for several hours. I was talking with Lauren, listener Lauren, who calls in, and he checked in, and he was saying, boy, it was like 3 hours that the power was out there. It just blew for heavy, heavy winds at my house for about an hour straight, and we got some rain with that. Not a lot of rain, but some. We did have a couple of fire starts. I'll tell you more about that, too. But just give me your story. You still okay? You get your power back? Did you have some problems? Bunch of trees down, that sort of thing? 770-5633 on the Bill Myers Show.
Ready to upgrade your roof to a durable, sleek metal option? Look no further than Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. With our state-of-the-art snap-lock machines, we bring precise and efficiency right to your doorstep. No need to worry about transporting materials. We come directly to your project property. Visit StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com and discover the ease of quality of metal roofing done right. Transform your home with Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. Call today, get an estimate tomorrow. 541-941-3736.
Since 1938, Blue Star Gas has been serving Jackson and Josephine counties for all your residential and commercial propane needs. That's a long time and for good reason. Blue Star Gas employees live, play, and volunteer here in the Rogue Valley and truly care about their customers. As a customer, you can count on Blue Star Gas to provide excellent service for decades and generations to come. For more information, visit BlueStarGas.com. That's BlueStarGas.com.
Well, you know, it's Orlis Stove and Spas. We both recommend.
Now I told you where, let us tell you why. You ought to stop and see our friend.
Hey, Lamont here. It's time to spring into summer with a new splash around pool from Orlis. Don't get caught high and dry this summer. Come into Orlis now and purchase your new pool before they are all gone. Splash around pools are easy to assemble on most any level surface, and they can be assembled in about an hour with no tools required. Whether it's a spa, swim spa, or above ground pool, Orlis Stoves and Spas has something for everyone. Come in to ask us about our Orlis easy financing programs. And for those of you considering a wood or pellet stove for next season, come in to ask us about our current 30% tax credit on qualifying wood stoves, pellet stoves, and installation. Orlis Stoves and Spas at the corner of Delta Waters and Crater Lake Highway. Or find us online at Orlis.com or at 541-779-5340.
Hi, I'm Dwayne Barkley with American Rancher Garage, and I'm on KMED.
24 after 6. Big statement yesterday, Josephine County Commissioner Dan DeYoung quit, just resigned. Back from his statement that we got yesterday. After much reflection and heartfelt discussions with my family, I've come down to the difficult decision to step down from my role. Effective today, resigning as commissioner for Joe County. This has been an incredibly tough decision for me, but over the past 18 months, I've come to realize that I am no longer able to contribute effectively to the well-being of this wonderful community. For this reason, I must step away. In the coming days, I will share a formal statement to explain my decision further. And thank you to everyone who has shown me unwavering support during my tenure as commissioner. I wish the best for this county and the citizens I have proudly served in the past 7.5 years. Well, you know what this is all about. This was about the sit on my lap comment at a meeting a few days ago, which just ended up sparking a lot of fire. And it's one of those things where these kind of investigations and suits and stuff can just drag on forever. And I think that Commissioner Young just thought, DeYoung rather, thought it was better just to bow out gracefully at this point. All right. The thunderstorms last night, and we did have a few fire starts. ODF Southwest District responded to a fire near, we're getting this reported from KOBI 5, by the way, fire near Waters Gulch Road. That's southwest of Buncombe. And there's also west of Ashland Monday night, last night. And they put the ODF helicopter sent to the Waters Gulch fire. They estimated that last night at about 2 acres. Type 2 helicopter with additional aircraft and engines also ordered due to that location of that fire on a steep slope. And it's an estimated half-mile walk uphill to get to it from the ground. So, boy, that's going to be some hard work for the firefighters. Natalie Weber, who is their spokesperson there, says the amount of rain that came with the storm contributed to the very few fires reported and will likely naturally extinguish some other lightning fires elsewhere. So that's good. But boy, I'll tell you, it was just a violent storm at my house. We didn't get a whole lot of rain, but it was enough just to kind of smear the dust around on the car windshield. Yeah, that kind of thing. A lot of down power lines right now. At one point, 7,000 customers were affected by Pacific Power's, by the lines being down. And someone emailed me last night from Rogue River saying that that was down. Let me just do a quick check of the outages. Yeah, we're still looking at about 300, 350 out in Eagle Point without power this morning. Central Point has a handful. Looks like Rogue River is back on this morning. So that's pretty good. And I don't know if it was the if these were intentional outages over in Rogue River last night, or it was just the lines being turned off. Can't say for sure. Okay, but needless to say, they're back on now. Maybe we'll see more of that this afternoon. So do keep in mind, and we're gonna have red flag warning 2 till 8 o'clock this afternoon, which means the high winds, possibility of thunderstorms. And my boss George and I were looking out in the parking lot last night, and we saw the thunderstorm clouds. You could see those clouds spooling up and going, yep, we were going to see some action, and we certainly did. Fortunately, we don't have more fires than we could have had it been just a dry thunderstorm, okay? But we could see some of that this afternoon, so do keep it in mind. While we're on the subject of power being out, have you gone to KMED.com and signed up to win the Generac? Yeah, the Generac generator being given away by Patriot Electric. Got a few more days left of that, I think 10, 12 days, and then someone's going to win this. And if there's ever been a time now that they want to take it to more chaotic and intermittent power to have a backup generator, pretty good reason, a pretty good deal to have one of those things. Just go to KMED.com and sign up. Just sign up on the banner when it flies by. Pretty easy, and I hope you win that, okay? Good morning. This is the Bill Meyer Show. Hi, who's this? Caller, welcome.
It's Vicky from the Applegate.
Hey, Vicky. How things work out for you there last night, huh?
Oh, my God. It was, well, I live 2 miles from Buncombe, and It was like a tornado moved through our field and in our driveway, and the wind, oh, my God. But we got a lot of rain. I mean,
oh, you did get a lot of rain with that, because I had huge wind, just a little smear of rain, but it was, hey, it's better than being totally dry. I get that.
Yeah, my granddaughter and I drove to Rouge, and I had to put my windshield wipers on high. It was coming down so hard, but it didn't last a whole long time. But you mentioned that there was a fire southwest of Buncombe.
A couple miles, Waters Gulch fire. At 2 acres is what they were talking about. This was last night. And let's see, fire, steep slope, estimated half-mile walk uphill, like I was mentioning here. Okay, so it's a Waters Gulch Road is southwest of Buncombe, okay?
Okay.
So it's southwest of you and also west of Ashland, you know, kind of in that particular area.
Okay.
Okay?
I mean, literally, Bill, I just got done unpacking from the evacuation just like a couple weeks ago. On the little Applegate fire.
Right.
But we saw the helicopter go by with the bucket, so we were like, oh, crap.
Yeah, well, they jumped on it pretty well. Unfortunately, it appears that there was a lot of rain that came down with that, too. So good news. That's good news overall.
And then this morning, I don't have air or anything, but I just water everything and then open up my windows. And I haven't, for probably almost the last 2 weeks, I haven't been able to get my house down past 60, and it's 51 in there. I had to put a sweater on this morning.
Oh, okay. Well, good. I'm glad that things are returning back to a little bit more to normal. Today, it's still going to be a hot day, about 104, yeah. 105 in the afternoon, and I guess we get down to the upper 90s or so tomorrow, maybe later this week, that starts heating up. I would like a little more normal temperature coming up for sure.
This has just been such a shock for everyone, because we had such a beautiful spring, and then all of a sudden, boom, into the hundreds. And I honestly think like several years ago when Japan had that earthquake, that really big one that did all the
damage. The tsunami and caused the trouble. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that it had tilted the Earth's axis 9%. I think 9 degrees or something like that.
I don't think it was that much, but it was detectable, needless to say. You're wondering if that has something to do with it, huh?
Ever since then, we've had more like Southern California weather here.
Hmm. Interesting. I was reading a story the other day. Well, I was reading a story the other day, and I want to get Gregory Wrightstone back on, you know, the geologist and the scientist who always talks about the convenient warming. You know, he says that this is a warming trend we're in. And I read some stories that say that the undersea volcanic eruptions, and I forget what island chain it was in a couple of years ago, blew hundreds of billions of gallons of water into the stratosphere, which would be a very intense global warming generator. And I had not considered that, and naturally the media is not going to probably spotlight something like that because it's much more fun to talk about, get rid of your car put a windmill in your backyard and send more money to the politicians, and that'll change the weather. We'll change the weather for you, you know, that kind of thing.
Right. Well, you know, Bill, it's you and I's fault that the it's getting so globally warm here.
Well, no, it's Trump's fault. It's Trump. You got to blame it on Trump. Come on, you know. When you have world, literally Hitler, you use him. I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God.
You know
I'm
that.
So glad he's okay. That was crazy. When Biden said, this unfortunate incident, who says something like that? I mean, if it had been him, oh, my God, we would have been hearing about that. Even if it would have clipped his eyelash, you know, we would have been hearing about that for
weeks, you know, the violence being done against the gentle, tolerant leftists. That's it. All right, Vicky, I appreciate the call. Thank you for that. 770. I actually hold the calls for a little bit. We'll have Michael O'Neill coming on in just a minute. But speaking of Biden, he ended up talking with Lester Holt. I'm sure it was a reasonably friendly. Well, I know it kind of went south, but I have a little bit from the Lester Holt interview of Biden.
About Saturday, of course, the former president was wounded. One of his supporters died. A couple more people were seriously injured. Was this a massive security failure?
I have had two meetings in the Situation Room with all the intelligence communities, the FBI, Secret Service, etc., and I've asked for a totally independent analysis, and we'll see what happens when that comes back.
Okay, didn't answer the question. Asked about Kimberly Cheadle.
Is it acceptable that you have still not heard, at least publicly, from the Secret Service director?
Well, I've heard from him.
Have you heard from her publicly?
Publicly, I've sat down in a Situation Room downstairs with the Secret Service, the FBI, the National Security Agencies, the Homeland Security, all the major elements.
You would have thought just fire her. It was a failure, but once again, not answering the questions. All right. And then what about the debate? Did he watch the debate? Lester went there.
In your last TV interview, you were asked if you had watched the debate. Your answer was, I don't think so, no. Have you since seen it?
I've seen pieces of it. I've not watched the whole debate.
And the reason I ask, because I guess the question is, are you all on the same page? Are you seeing what they saw, which was moments of, frankly, that appeared to be confused?
Lester, look, why don't you guys ever talk about the 18 to 28 lies he told? Where are you on this? Why didn't the press ever talk about that?
Because we would then have to bring up the lies that you did in the debate, Joe Tato. Remember about no soldiers died on my watch? Yeah, but anyway. Joe Tato wrapped it up. I don't think Joe Tato was real happy in the end here.
Always good to talk to you. Good to see you. Thank you for making some time for us.
Sometimes come and talk to me about what we should be talking about.
All right.
Okay, the issues.
Always happy to talk.
That's a nice network you have there, Lester. Be ashamed if something happened to it. It's 6:35 at KMED and KBXG. This is the Bill Myers Show. Let me get back to the phones here before news. Hello. Good morning. Who's this?
Hi, Bill. It's Lynn.
Oh, hi, Lynn. How are you? Welcome.
I'm good. Yeah, we were sitting on our back porch last night because the power was out for the fourth time in a week and a half.
Wow.
And we saw that helicopter with a bucket go by. It's really kind of a dramatic sight.
Mm-hmm.
But Yeah, I wanted to. We've lost power a lot. We're on a talent line, and it's old, and it goes out a lot. So, in fact, my husband got the generator out last night. We're kind of sick of it. But anyway,
now is that? Are you living in the neighborhood like the lines that are going back up Wagner Creek Road in that area?
No,
no.
We're on the other side of the freeway. I think it comes out of near the Talent Police Station.
Oh.
But the first 3 days, they said it was wildlife. It was a woodpecker. It was a rodent. But I don't think so. I think it's old equipment. And I filed a complaint with the Pacific Power. We'll see if I get any response. Because they just need to fix the equipment. Like, we lose power a lot in the winter, and we're always the first to lose it and the last to get it back on because it's a short line. So it doesn't affect very many customers.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you're at this point where I would imagine I'm not an insider at Pacific Power. In fact, they won't even return calls to me because I'm not a fan of the fake green agenda. But let's be honest with ourselves: is that putting all the money into the green agenda ended up having maintenance of real people's concerns?
Yeah,
well, you're shortchanged.
So people need to scream. People need to make a stink. I mean, our rates are up something like 30%, and yet the power is worse.
Well, the real comments need to go to the Public Utility Commission, because remember, Pacific Power doesn't even wipe its behind without getting permission from it first.
Yep.
And it's a politically created problem, because remember, you know, power generation is very, very tightly regulated. This is the Bill Myers Show on KMED.
Jasper's Cafe, voted Medford's best burgers for 14 years running. Jasper's has been a local tradition for over 40 years. Come in and see for yourself why we've been recognized nationally for our amazing burgers featuring outrageous toppings and a delicious range of meats from local grass-fed beef to elk to bison and more. We're just 1 mile up North Pacific Highway from the mall, or check out our menu at jasperscafe.com. Jasper's, burgers with attitude.
Did you know that with Good Guys Guns Background Concierge Service, customers get approved the same day? And for under 21-year-old customers, Good Guys Guns at 4934 Crater Lake Avenue gets you approved in half the time of the big box stores. That's right. Good Guys Background Concierge Service gets you your firearm faster than the other guys. And this service is free with every firearm purchase. Good Guys Guns, the Valley's firearm leader. 4934 Crater Lake Avenue. Good Guys Guns.
Good Guys Guns.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. A fugitive wanted since February for domestic abuse and abandoning two children, a six-month-old and a one-and-a-half-year-old, in the woods, has been arrested after a high-speed chase. Jackson County deputies arrested Justin Trompeter after a 120-mile-an-hour chase that started at a Medford Jack-in-the-Box and ended in a crash south of Grants Pass. He's facing a long list of charges, including a 2019 parole violation. As large fires continue to grow in eastern Oregon, firefighters mostly have the Salt Creek Fire northeast of Medford under control. It's been holding at 4,100 acres and is 60% contained, with a number of evacuation notices being canceled Monday afternoon. The Oregon Business Report says a May survey of 649 hiring managers shows 40% of employers have posted fake job listings in the last year to boost morale, alleviate employee concerns over heavy workloads, and suggest company growth. Bill London, KMED.
You wouldn't spend several thousand dollars on a new car, then never change your oil, would you? Regular maintenance is intended to prevent mechanical failure. The same principle is true of your home's central air system. Join Advanced Air's Comfort Club for uninterrupted air conditioning all summer long. Advanced Air and Bryant do whatever it takes to deliver reliable comfort and award-winning service. Visit myadvancedair.com for preventative maintenance details and learn about Bryant heating and cooling products.
Intelligent, innovative, award-winning heating and cooling solutions. myadvancedair.com.
We love Family Night at Hellgate Jetboat Excursions.
Because Family Night is Kids Night. And on Wednesdays, kids' dinner excursions are half off.
With our busy schedules, us kids could really use a night out. And our parents would totally appreciate that kids are half off, right?
Oh, yeah. We'll ride the jet boat, see wildlife, and hang on for super fun spins. Plus, we'll get to take home an adventure pack.
So come on, parents. Book now at hellgate.com.
Restrictions apply. See hellgate.com for details.
Power outages are becoming more common. Patriot Electric can size you with the correct Generac generator backup system for when outages occur. Whether you need a powerful portable or a whole house system to power your house, barn, shop, and pump house, a flip of a switch will produce power when you need it the most to pump water and provide essentials like AC and refrigeration. Call Patriot Electric and get your own Generac generator, an investment you'll never regret. We are Generac sales, installation, and service professionals. Visit PatriotElectricOregon.com.
The Bill Myers Show, 106.3 KMED.
641. Appreciate you waking up here on the Bill Myers Show. As bad as it was for Joe Biden yesterday with Lester Holt, it was much better for President Trump in many ways. J.D. Vance, of course, selected, and he was... And by the way, President Trump is now the official nominee. They just made that happen. And there was great legal news, too, and I wanted to talk about that with Michael O'Neill. He's the Vice President of Legal Affairs at Landmark Legal Foundation. And, Michael, it is always great to have you back on the program. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing great. It was a better day legally with that Florida judge dealing with President Trump and his this is the classified documents case, right, the Jack Smith case?
Exactly. This is a classified. This is out of the Southern District of Florida. This is in Fort Pierce, Florida. This is the Mar-a-Lago documents retention case, the classified document retention case. What Judge Cannon did was she issued a sober, well-reasoned decision. And what was pending before her, the issue was whether the appropriateness of the appointment of special counsel Jack Smith, the constitutionality and the legality of his appointment as special counsel. And the litigants, President Trump's attorneys, had brought a motion to dismiss, seeking to have essentially the case thrown out and have it the case dismissed, arguing that his appointment as special counsel was both illegal and unconstitutional. Landmark Legal Foundation, the organization I work for, in partnership with two law professors, Seth Barrett Tillman and Josh Blackman, filed an amicus brief with the judge. Former Attorney Generals Mukasey and Edwin Meese filed another amicus brief arguing similar that, again, his appointment was unconstitutional and improper. And another group of lawyers filed an amicus in opposition to us. So Judge Cannon considered a lot of different issues, had a multi-day hearing, and ultimately concluded that his appointment was both illegal and unconstitutional and essentially has dismissed the case.
Another way of looking at this is that Jack Smith was declared an illegitimate prosecutor. Really,
yes.
Right? Just the whole thing just should never have happened. You know, I've wondered now, this had nothing to do with any of the evidence or merits of the case. This is purely a technical decision then?
Yes, this is a legal decision, right? This doesn't have to do with the underlying charges that were brought. Again, the issue here is specifically is whether the attorney general has the constitutional and legal authority to assign an individual who Jack Smith, who is, if you recall, just a little bit of background, he's never been an attorney. He's not a U.S. attorney. He's an attorney, obviously. He's a prosecutor. But he was essentially, before he was designated as special counsel, he was a private individual. That means he's never been subject to any kind of confirmation by the Senate. Remember, under the Appointments Clause, when you have principal officers, they are subject to the nomination and confirmation by the Senate. So U.S. attorneys have to go through this process where the Senate agrees to confirm them in their roles as U.S. attorneys. If you're an inferior officer, the attorney general has the legal authority to designate you with these powers to function as a prosecutor. And again, Judge Cannon's opinion is really legalistic. It's a great opinion, but she delves into the nuances of this, concludes that there is no legal authority, there is no constitutional authority for Jack Smith to function as the special prosecutor.
Have any of the special prosecutors ever been confirmed by the Senate, to your knowledge here, Michael?
Special counsel. Let's be precise in our terminology. Oh. I mean special counsel. But certainly yes. For example, the gentleman in Delaware, he's a U.S. attorney. And what's really kind of unique here is that Jack Smith was not a U.S. attorney before he was designated as special counsel. He was a private individual. It'd be like pulling Mike O'Neill out of the private sector and bestowing upon me all of these powers as a prosecutor.
Yeah, now, waving a magic wand and tapping your head, right? And there you are, instant authority. Okay.
You're absolutely right. And again, you can't do that under our system of laws, under our separation of powers. And Judge Cannon gets into this in her opinion. Separation of powers is designed to ensure that to prevent tyranny, prevent individuals without any kind of accountability from wielding this enormous power. Now, think of the power that Jack Smith has. Think of the stakes in these cases that he's bringing. He is essentially seeking to disenfranchise the Republican nominee for president and disenfranchise millions of voters who are poised, tens of millions of voters who are poised to vote for Donald Trump as president. And these stakes are enormous. And so you have to make sure all the legalities, all the formal legalities, all the due process is adhered to. All the I's are dotted and T's are crossed. That means his appointment and his designation as special counsel has to be legal. And according to Judge Cannon and according to this opinion, it is not.
Does the Chevron deference decision that came out, is that having any influence on a case like this, or are the two not even, you know, once again, we have experts and agencies deciding we're going to do our own thing. In this case, the Justice Department, you know, that kind of thing. Does it have any role to play?
That's a good question. It didn't play a role in this. But essentially, when you read her opinion, and again, I encourage, it's 93 pages. So it's a sober, well-reasoned analysis of all the legal issues that are raised. And what a large portion of that is devoted to a textual analysis. Now, not to get too in the weeds with you, but you have to, when judges and attorneys have to discern what words mean. And so Judge Cannon undertook this. So she used these sophisticated tools of statutory construction, these canons of statutory construction, to look at the certain laws that are potentially operable. In other words, does the Attorney General have the statutory, the legal authority to bestow this power on an individual like Jack Smith? And through analyzing the text of these laws, she concluded that they don't. Look, it has to be clear. This Smith's powers are enormous. Again, as I was saying, he could affect the direction of our nation. So you have to have clear authority, clear legal and constitutional authority to do what he's doing. And it just isn't there in the statute.
All right. It's good to know. I was talking with a legal friend of mine on the air yesterday. He does a history segment every week, you know, on my show. And he's a retired professor of business law at Southern Oregon. And I was asking about even the impeachment of Nixon or the investigation of Nixon back in the day with Archibald Cox. Now, was he a special prosecutor or was he a special counsel? Or I was wondering, you know, what the what the rules were on something like that back then. It's a bit of history, but I was kind of curious.
No, it's a great question. So I think his term, now his title. So so there was an independent counsel. We think of Ken Starr, for example. That's an independent counsel. There was a statute that was called the Independent Counsel Statute that specifically bestowed, Congress said, okay, we're going to pass a law that's going to designate an individual, that's going to create this office of special of independent counsel. An office of independent counsel, it's a legal creation, Congress bestowing that power. Well, that law is no longer on the books. That law has expired.
Oh.
So when you're talking about the individual Archibald Cox, this was before the independent counsel law. So I think his term was, I think he was a special prosecutor.
Yes.
Again, it gets a little, you know, you want to be clear with these terms. But interestingly enough, and Judge Cannon spends a significant amount of time considering this issue, the case that determined whether, you know, that involved Nixon and the case you're talking about is U.S. versus Nixon. And she analyzed that decision and came to the determination that the U.S. versus Nixon, the Supreme Court never squarely resolved the appropriateness of the appointment, in other words, the legality and the constitutionality of Archibald Cox as, let's say, special prosecutor at the time. I think that might have been the term. So that issue was actually never specifically resolved in front of the Supreme Court. So for this specific issue, again, the appropriateness and the constitutionality and the legality of the appointment of Jack Smith as special counsel is a case of first impression. You know, we get in all these cases under Donald Trump, things that have never arisen before. This is, again, a case of first impression.
Yeah, there's been a lot of firsts when it comes to President Trump, that is for sure. Michael O'Neill, once again, Vice President of Legal Affairs at Landmark Legal Foundation. Michael, and I'm wondering if it's not good to compare it to the Nixon impeachment time when Nixon ended up firing Archibald Cox at that point, you know, in a controversial move at the time. Because the difference then is that President Trump was not facing impeachment in this particular case, which is the normal political punishment for a president, right? That's the constitutional punishment. You know, we don't take a president and throw him in jail, an active president in office. It doesn't work that way. Only impeachment and removal of office upon conviction can do it. But with Nixon and Archibald Cox, that was just it was not a criminal investigation of Nixon. And I'm wondering if that's also a different level.
Absolutely. This is the highest level of due process that needs to be afforded to the accused. Again, it's a criminal context. It's unprecedented. It's the first time a former president has been sought to be prosecuted. And I keep repeating myself, but the stakes couldn't be higher here. That's why you have to do this. You have to ensure that all the due process is afforded to the accused. Again, the accused, you're Donald Trump. And this process has to play out. I really want to commend Judge Cannon for ensuring that this is adhering and following due process.
I would imagine she's taking a lot of incoming over having let this case or gotten rid of this case, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely, but she hasn't rushed through it because look what happened in D.C. Contrast this with what's gone in D.C. when it was an accelerated process, when all of these issues, particularly the Trump immunity case, the issue of President Trump's immunity, the official versus the unofficial acts, wasn't properly vetted at the district court level and at the circuit court level. So the Supreme Court was tasked with doing that, and they reversed the circuit court and kicked the case back down to the district court. So you have to do your due diligence and follow the process, and that's exactly what Judge Cannon is doing.
Could a charge be brought against President Trump again? Could it be refiled at some point or not?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. So what I think I've read this morning that Jack Smith is going to appeal this decision. So there's two tracks. They're going to appeal this decision. So they're going to most likely seek a stay at the 11th Circuit. The 11th Circuit is the court with the appellate jurisdiction over this district court. And they'll seek to have an 11th Circuit Court of Appeals stay or say set aside this opinion, this controlling opinion, until this issue is resolved on appeal. So they're probably going to seek a stay. Also, there is, as of right now, the prosecution, the special counsel is dead. There is a chance they have to start again. And I would, if they're going to go that route, I would assume that the U.S. attorney in the Southern District of Florida would be tasked with refiling and restarting this case. But again, Judge Cannon is very clear. Everything that's proceeded from this prosecution, from the special counsel, is off the table. It's all improper. He's been acting ultra vires, so they really would have to start again.
Does this include the evidence that the FBI brought in? Is it like it's all dead? It doesn't matter now or not?
That's a fantastic procedural question. I think that they executed a search warrant pursuant to if it came out of the office of the special counsel, it is dead. And I think they probably had to execute a search warrant and that the special counsel was behind that. So, yes, there's a very strong possibility that that's dead.
Given that a president can essentially declassify documents just by his or her say-so, if we ever have a female president, that kind of thing. Wouldn't even President Trump having taken some of those documents and taken them with him, is that not something which happened as an official part of his office at that time? I know I'm getting into this Trump immunity sort of question, too. I'm wondering if a case could be made that, hey, this was an official action because I was president when I had these things boxed up and brought to my estate, that kind of thing.
Right, and I think that certainly could factor into it. I think the question you have to ask regarding the presidential immunity is holding the records. Is he functioning in his capacity as an ex-president, as a president? Is that an official?
Right.
Certainly, there's things to consider with this. But I think really when you come down to brass tacks, I think it means what this means is there's not a trial. The trial's not going to be held before November. Certainly, so there's not going to be any kind of prosecution before November, and either most likely in D.C. and absolutely in Florida. So if former President Trump is elected president, then he can do a couple of things. He can immediately dissolve the office of the special counsel. He can direct his attorney general to dissolve the office of the special counsel. And he can also issue a pardon to himself for any you know, any alleged crimes that might have occurred regarding document retention and J6 actions.
I didn't know that you could pardon yourself, but I guess the pardon power is absolute, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's not absolute. It's in regards to federal crimes. It is absolute. Yeah. It's pretty well determined. So he can immediately pardon himself. I mean, upon taking the oath of office, he could pardon himself and dissolve it. So these cases would be wiped off the table. But again, open question on the New York and Georgia cases. Wherever they are. It's an open question whether a president can pardon himself for violations of state law.
But this was honestly the most serious criminal charge that he could have been facing, right? This one, classified documents.
Yeah, that was the general consensus. This was the one that was the most exposure. But again, I think from a brass tacks point of view that it's interesting. This case, I don't think the Office of the Special Counsel wasn't constituted until 2 years into President Biden's term. So I think it was 2022 when this office was constituted. So it's just, look, this is how our justice system works. Our justice system works to afford due process to the accused. This Judge Cannon is crossing the T's and dotting the I's and issued an incredibly well-reasoned, sober decision where she considered all the issues that I do believe is going to stand the test of time. And I think that this dismissal is going to hold.
Well, I have to say that judicial appointments matter, and it's kind of great if we can more or less make the Constitution matter again, because it's been under a lot of attack for a lot of decades, a little bit at a time. Took a long time to get to this point, right, Michael?
Certainly. This is a win for the separation of powers, a win for the rule of law, and a win for the Constitution. And I think that when people – this is Judge Cannon understands that this decision has to stand the test of time. This isn't something that's going to be – you know, it's important, obviously, to Donald Trump, but it has to go beyond Donald Trump. This is regarding issues of presidential, as you've talked about, presidential immunity, how all of this works, the appropriateness of the appointment clause. So there's all kinds of constitutional law issues here. Then this is a decision that's going to have to stand for posterity, and I do believe it will.
Really appreciate you folks putting in the amicus brief on this, too, and all the work that you're doing over at Landmark Legal. And before you take off here, landmarklegal.org, what is the overall purpose there, the mission? You know, the mission is probably not to talk to me as a talk radio guy, but why don't you share a bit of that before we take off and why it's important?
No, right. Thanks. One of our missions is to protect liberty and a fight tyranny. And one of our mechanisms to do that is to ensure separation of powers. And this is right in line with our mission to ensure that you don't have executives overstepping their bounds, to make sure that all aspects of government stay within their lanes, that Congress makes the law, that the executive enforces the law, that the judiciary objectively analyzes and calls balls and strikes, and to keep these locuses of power in their lanes so that they don't effectuate tyranny. And what happens here is, in this case, this is a perfect illustration of that. You see somebody, the attorney general, acting beyond his power and designating a private individual to go act with the full force and power of the United States government, who is accountable to no one. And so this is a really appropriate case for us to participate in.
Michael O'Neill is the vice president of Landmark Legal Foundation. Michael, we appreciate your analysis, and thanks for doing a great job on this. Take care, all right?
Thanks, Bill. Have a great day.
You too. Shade before 7 o'clock. This is KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass.